This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
One of the most asked questions I encounter from pet parents is what to feed. There is so much information out there. It's like drinking from a fire hose, and that much of it is conflicting doesn't help either. My guest today, Billy Hochman, is the Vice President of Nutrition and Communication for a brand called Green Juju. Billy's involved in the formulation of their food products, their development, and he also works with the farmers. He knows the science behind why they develop the products they do and behind what he suggests to pet parents to feed. I'm excited because I've been hearing Billy's name for years, have used both Green Juju's products for my dogs, as well as the company he used to be an integral part of called Answers Pet Food. So today we're going to unpack nutrition a bit. We're going to get some insight into how Billy looks at it and learn a bit about his history before he became a go-to expert panelist and speaker around the world. I'm Jodi L. Teich, and you're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. We're going to take a short break from our sponsor here, so grab that healthy beverage, get comfortable, and we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jodi Teich. Our guest today is Billy Hochman, an expert speaker on nutrition for dogs and cats, and the VP of Nutrition and Communication for a brand called Green Juju. Let's learn more about how Billy looks at nutrition for our pets and why. Welcome, Billy.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm really glad that you came on the show. Thank you. So you've been called the dog nutrition guru, but your beginnings weren't filled with university lectures on pet nutrition and degrees. Tell us what life was like for you growing up and how you got curious about pet nutrition.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing that I ended up, you know, in this career path, because growing up, I had no pets whatsoever. There might have been like a bird in there randomly for a short period of time, maybe some fish or something. But my brother was allergic to basically, you know, all mammals that we could have at any given time. And so I never had any pets growing up. I was very scared of dogs and didn't really understand why people had them. You know, I always thought of them as kind of like a nuisance at the time, because I just, you know, I didn't really grow up with it, which is, you know, on a side note, something, you know, having a dog now and a daughter, watching them come together and become best friends is one of the best things I've ever experienced. So, but it was interesting because I ended up getting a dog in my 20s, and this dog's name was Lua, and she passed away about 2 years ago. But there's not a lot of people I know, especially in this industry, that have their first dog when they're in their 20s. But the way that my brain sort of works is I think about maybe 3 or 4 different subjects, and I think about them all the time. Most of those are, you know, dorky things like Marvel Comics, superhero movies, and things like that. But
okay.
one of them happened to be, you know, I got this dog and I brought her to a pet store and I said, what do I feed this dog? And that question has never become uninteresting to me. It's what I think about 98% of my day, and what I, you know, my favorite thing in the past going on, I guess, 20 years is feeding the dog and thinking about new ways to, where my passion comes in is trying to push nutrition forward and not trying to do the same things that have been done, or really, you know, just take established knowledge and make products that are within that spectrum. But I really try to do new things that people haven't thought of yet and things along those lines. So I worked for free for a company for 2 years. and had no experience going into that, and really worked my way up to vice president, and now work for Green Juju as vice president. So I'm 100% self-taught and 100% proof that the information that you need is out there for everybody. There's not a, there's no longer like a wall between people who are educated and, you know, formally and uneducated. You can get that information if you want it. And so it's been really my joy to have been able to sort of pursue my passion. And I feel very lucky to do what I do for a living.
Yeah. I mean, a few things come up for me with what you just said. One is, after growing up the way you grew up and thinking what you thought about dogs, what prompted you to get Lua in your 20s? Like, what changed? So I guess that's the first thing.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So it was funny because, and I'm in no way saying that people should copy this way of getting a dog, because keep in mind, I had no idea how to get a dog, anything like that at the time. I was living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I got Lua from a pet store. I will say, you know, from a karma perspective, I did have a fundraiser against puppy mills, and I raised enough money at the time to, that was more than Lua cost. So I felt like, you know, I was in a good place when it came to that.
Yeah, you squared away with the universe.
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't change it because she was just such a beautiful part of my life. But it was really just seeing her, this small pug puppy, and being like, maybe it's because, you know, I eventually, you know, becoming a father has been a whole different thing, you know, in terms of a kid, a human child. But maybe it was just maybe the next step or just seeing her. But I don't know. I just looked at her and thought, that's my dog.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And very oftentimes, dogs are the sort of bridge to being fathers and mothers of human kids. So they're good practice, actually. The other thing that came up for me, Billy, is what's so exciting, and I know that you'll totally feel this too, is everything that we're learning and have learned over the past few years about human nutrition and foods you can eat to feel better emotionally, to combat depression, to just be more vibrantly healthy. A lot of that, not everything, but a lot of that translates to our pets. And what's so exciting and what you're smack in the middle of and pushing forward is taking those beautiful whole foods that may not have been put together in a way that you're doing it at Green Juju and offering that to our pets for optimal health. And I want to talk more about that and get, you know, sort of unpack the products. But I first would love to talk about how you and Answers came together. Maybe a lot of people listening will recognize Answers Pet Food or Pet Company. They were also a front runner when they came out and grew in space of optimal health for animals and, you know, the beautiful products that they did. How did you guys come together and what was that trajectory like?
Well, when I started there, I really identified with what they were doing at the time. I was actually working in many other aspects of the pet space in general. I was living in Seattle and had my own pet sitting business and worked in a daycare / retail store. And actually, it was funny because I really got my start. I begged my way to get one shift in the retail store, you know, from the manager at the time, who became a good friend of mine. And I was like, I know a lot about nutrition, I swear. Let me in. Let me have one shift. And then, but I saw it at the time and I said, this is, you know, the people who were involved, who I didn't know at the time, my mentor at the time, Jacqueline and her sister, Roxanne. And I said, this is who I want to work for. And so I sent out a very long email to Jacqueline about who I was and my love of science and, you know, nutrition in general, and said, I want to work with you, so you have to hire me. And she did for free. So she hired me, but for free. As I mentioned, and you know, had to have the other jobs and do this one. But I think that that's where the drive comes in. I think from a, you know, from your inner perspective, you're the only one that's really gonna, you know, change your life or make it better. And so I knew I wanted to do that. And so, you know, working for free for that time wasn't really a problem for me. And it was a really cool thing because of me and those two. And unfortunately, Jacqueline passed away last year.
Yeah.
And Roxanne is, they both are still the godmothers to my daughter. So, you know, we remain very close in that sense, but it was a really neat collaboration because we kind of all came from a different perspective and taught each other and, you know, really started to kind of push things forward at the time from there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fantastic journey from what I've learned about it. There's also a cool story about how you connected with Green Juju. Tell us about that.
Well, a lot of people may not know this, but I was actually the first Green Juju customer of all time.
Wow.
Kelly had brought a sample into a store in Seattle locally, Kelly Marion, the owner, in like 2014, I want to say. And she told the employee to give it to the owner so that she could try it. And obviously they weren't, you know, she said, don't sell this. We don't have a price point or anything. And she left, and about an hour later or so, I walked in and they sold it to me. So I was actually the first Green Juju customer, which, you know, is I don't think a coincidence.
Yeah, there are none.
Yeah. And I knew when I was leaving my last job that, you know, the things I valued. So, you know, the integrity, the sourcing, the type of formulation, the ingredients, and also just Kelly as a person, you know, having been friends with her for about 10 years, I knew I wanted to work with her. So good news for me, I flew out there and met with her and she wanted to work with me. And since then, it's really been an incredible experience on my end, just in terms of we're one of the few fast growing companies in the pet food industry that doesn't have outside investment, like a investment group or a board that we'd have to go to. So for me, the freedom for us to be able to make decisions, and especially make decisions about what we're formulating and why, it's really just comes down to whatever me and Kelly think is cool. And then we just do it. And R&D, a lot of it happens in my kitchen and, you know, gets sized up from there, you know, into production and that kind of thing. And so I never thought I could like a job as much, but I like this one the best. So
that is wonderful. And it's so pure and like unfettered to not have to answer to a board or investors and to really just be able to go with your gut, no pun intended, but to go with it. So that's really very cool. Let's talk a bit about the products. So tell us something about the core products, what's in them, why, and we can expand from there.
Yeah, so the core products were developed, I guess I kind of contributed to one of them, but are the vegetable blends, which were the core of the company, which was what, in the beginning, it was just the vegetable blends. And I was just talking today about this, that the more and more I invest time in, you know, working with animals and my own dog, I just think that what Kelly developed back then in terms of those vegetable blends, we have Just Greens, Bailey's Blend, and now the Golden Blend, is as much a part of nutrition as the animal-based ingredients. Just because something doesn't make up a majority of a diet calorically doesn't mean it doesn't make a huge difference. I know for my own dog personally, fiber and large amounts of fiber is integral to his health specifically. So those products are, we have two green blends that basically they have the same purpose, but work in different ways. So they are both green blends, but they have different ingredients because in nature, every food is going to be basically full of different vitamins, phytochemicals, different nutrients, and you want to get as big of a base as possible. So if you're looking for broccoli, you could use one. If you're looking for, you know, dandelion greens, you could use another one. And I think the biggest role that they play, and this is like not understating antioxidants and vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients, but a lot of people aren't considering that there's two types of bacteria groups, in my opinion, to feed. So the first one you have is the probiotic bacteria, which you're going to get from diet typically, and those last about 1 to 3 days in the digestive tract. So the blends, which are going to be all this diversified fiber from all these different plants, are going to feed those. And that's as important as getting them. You have to feed those things. Now, these are low carb blends. So what you get there is not very many carbohydrates, but with high fiber. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. But then you also have the second grouping, which companies like Animal Biome measure, which are the innate bacteria that always live in your gut that are there from, you know, your dog's mother and environment. And you want to be able to feed both of those because we know that those are directly related to digesting protein, to immunity, to producing vitamins in the gut, a lot of different functions. And so I think that generally when it comes to raw fed dogs around the country, they're not really getting enough plants and or diversity in plants. And so I think that the blends should be used by basically every dog owner, even if they're feeding a raw diet.
Yeah, we are learning more and more that balancing with plants is super important. How do you feel about, because I know there are some green juju products that go beyond the greens. How do you feel about eating the rainbow for dogs?
Yeah, we actually, when stores bring in our products, we have something as an initial stocking order called Treat the Rainbow, because we have throughout all of our products, we have these very vibrant vegetable colors and fruit, you know, berry colors in some instances. And that's because we are primarily, you know, a plant company. And so we have a treat line that is basically color based, because in every color in nature is a different antioxidant subtype. And you want to vary those subtypes just generally. So we have beef red, we have bison green, we have salmon blue, duck orange, and pork pink. And all of those things are organ meats, and or obviously the salmon, but otherwise than that, organ meats, which are the most nutrient dense form of meat, mixed with those deep kind of plant antioxidant colors. And so that, I think that's a very important way to do it. I think everyone should feed their animals many different nutrient dense whole foods as possible, especially given the nature of the flawed nature of, you know, nutrient testing in food.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's great to hear. So what about your thoughts on bioindividuality when it comes to pets and what works best for each individual animal? What have you found over the years about that?
I think that's as relevant as it is in human nutrition.
Yes.
So everyone in the human world knows, like, oh, this diet generally works for me, or this diet works for someone else. I can tell you, me and Kelly both focus on nutrition in our own lives to a huge degree, and our diets are very different from each other. Most people aren't like me and eating raw egg yolks and, you know, drinking raw milk and things like that. And she's definitely not, but she's found a diet that works best for her body. And I am in the exact same boat. And so I think it is the same exact thing with dogs. And I think this is where people get too stuck on, well, this is what the fat to protein ratio needs to be. This is what, how many plants or how many carbohydrates or what is the diet makeup? And the cool thing is you get to figure out with your own dog what works best for them. I think I'm finally in a place where my dog's a year and a half, and I finally figured out, like, okay, this is what works for him on a daily basis. And that includes the foods we give him when we're cooking. That includes the food that my daughter loves to give him when she's eating in her high chair. So, you know, that's all a part of diet. And I think you can look at ranges of nutrients and things like that, but figure out what works for your dog. And there's always going to be people who tell you, like, especially on the internet and stuff, like, you should be doing this or you should be doing that. Find what works for your dog and just be confident in it.
Exactly. And that can change over time. You know, as dogs get older, sometimes their tolerance or tastes change when it comes to diets that they ate, even for years when they were younger. So yeah, I think it's always like experimenting, tweaking, finding what works. And yeah, just, you know, kind of sticking with that as long as it's working, and then more experimentation and tweaking if it's not. So yeah, fermentation, so important for gut health, for humans, and we've learned now for pets too. I know that's a topic near and dear to your heart. Talk a bit about what you've learned about it and what it does, why it's so important, and how you incorporate it.
So, you know, I think people who have any familiarity with me at all know I love fermentation and do a lot at home for myself personally. I always have a bunch of different projects, be it even if they're, say, you know, for, it's always funny because I take pictures of food and put them on Instagram of my pet's food. And a lot of times I can't include things because they're future products for Green Juju. So at any given time, I'm feeding Huckleberry other fermented things that just, you know, maybe haven't been put out yet. Or I would encourage anyone listening, you know, brew your own kombucha, make your own yogurt, do all these things because you'll be healthier. And I think it's fun. I'm a huge nerd, but there's that. So fermentation is kind of just another grouping of food products. So it's really just taking fresh food, which has its own nutrition profile, and pre-digesting it with bacteria to get new elements and to get a different nutrition profile, which again, that's what we're trying to do. And also it's the number one way to get probiotics into the diet because those probiotics are going to be in a food matrix. And that's how dogs, cats, people, that's how we all evolved getting our probiotics was from food itself. So they just stand up better in the gut. And so there's a whole host of reasons to add fermented products. Like we have BAM's Beets and Lua's Fermented Golden Paste. Those are two really great fermented products on the vegetable side of things. We have a video on our website where you can ferment our raw milk that we have and kind of rotate between different probiotic sources. But it's really, I think there's more of it in the pet industry now, but I think that's kind of the future, you know, of probiotics in a sense.
Yeah. And we've learned that a lot of the probiotics that are on the market don't ever even make it to the colon. You know, the acid in a dog's stomach just decimates the bacteria. So it really takes, well, Whole Foods is great and best, but it takes knowing that and creating something that is going to get through the whole digestive tract too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of that is slightly overblown in terms of like, oh, the dog's stomach destroys everything. I mean, I've even heard that when it comes to like antioxidants and, you know, there's always gray areas in nutrition. But I mean, I do think some of that is, I don't think you have to feed, you know, I've seen people say online, you have to feed probiotics before you feed food because of the stomach acid. But obviously when you're food based, you don't have to do things like that. There were no probiotics when dogs were evolving and everybody needs, you know, good bacteria, especially from environment. But food and Mother Nature still know best. And I don't mean that in a very woo-woo sense, but just a very like evolutionary sense. And so, you know, if I'm feeding my dog, you know, our freeze-dried food with some other ingredients and then getting a couple different fermented products in there, or even just say goat's milk, which has innate good bacteria over 200 species without doing any fermentation, that's where I'm going to put, you know, that's where I'm going to hedge my bet is hundreds of, you know, different species and then doing those soil-based probiotics. I do think on a side note that Adored Beast is doing some really interesting stuff.
I was just thinking about Julianne.
Yeah, I'm using their soil and sea right now along with the other stuff that I do. So there's always, you know, room for what you can do there. The other one I like too on the supplementary aspect is Saccharomyces boulardii, which is healthy yeast, which supports good bacteria. So that's another interesting one. But aside from that, but it's also still just about the combination. So I'm using the soil and sea, but I'm also using raw milk fermented into something I call special yogurt that I make for myself. And I'm also doing other fermented foods. And so I think it's about that variety.
And in terms of the fermented foods, outside of the two products you mentioned from Green Juju and the raw milk that you ferment as well, is there anything else that you would recommend to pet parents who are ambitious enough to do this stuff and have the time?
I can't say some of them because they almost certainly are going to be products. They'll be available though. So that's the good news. But I will say, I will give you one though, that I can think of right offhand is kombucha. So that's a really easy one. You can buy it at the store. You can brew it yourself. Two things. Number one, kombucha is great for healthy yeast, for antioxidants and healthy bacteria. And that the serving size on that I typically recommend is about 1 teaspoon per 10 to 20 pounds, probably per 20 pounds, let's say. It's just food, so it's kind of hard to overdo it, but that's usually what I recommend. And then also, if you head on over to Judy Morgan's media, like her YouTube, I did a little live there on how to kind of ferment some berries with kombucha. It's a super easy process. And then there you can get, you know, berries that are, you get the health benefit of the berries, but then you also pre-break down all of the sugars, you know, or most of the sugars in the berries as well with fermentation. So I'd say if someone's listening, that would be the easiest thing to start with, because it's literally just putting berries in kombucha and then leaving it for 3 days in your counter. And then just keeping it in the fridge.
Yeah, I'm totally going to try that. You had mentioned freeze-dried food. Can you tell us a little bit about what Green Juju offers in that?
Yeah, we currently do freeze-dried food. We are going to be doing frozen food as well. We just, you know, have to take some time to figure out the sourcing aspects of that, et cetera, because it's a little bit different market. Because with freeze-dried, you kind of deal in small dogs and then it's used as a topper most of the time. But we do something that's very different on the food side. So we have bison, beef, pork, and then we have rabbit with duck liver. And the bison, beef, and pork are only three ingredients from a nutrition or from an allergy perspective. And the rabbit with duck liver is only four. So it's an extremely efficient and limited ingredient panel. And there's no synthetic vitamins in it. Most people who formulate food is relatively easy, because you can, if you're using synthetic vitamins, you can pretty much do anything and then just add those vitamins to meet that nutrition profile. But we wanted to do it through food. And so we replaced most or all of the muscle meat with heart, which is way more nutrient dense. And then we use more kidney and liver really than any other brand to meet those nutrition profiles. So aside from that, we decided to put a dark leafy green and kelp, and that was pretty much it. And so at Green Juju, one of the big premises of our company is to really formulate for sensitive animals. And so we formulated this where people could find one of those foods and it is complete and balanced, if that's the only thing they can do. But then beyond that, they can mix and match with other products and figure out what works for their animal and kind of go from there. So it's, sourcing is always very important to me. So we're second to none in terms of where our animals come from and the, you know, quality of those animals in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds beautiful. I'm going to check that out. I use the Just Greens, freeze-dried Just Greens for my guys, and I've absolutely noticed a difference since I've been using it. So.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I'm always looking for products that are pure, limited ingredients, you know, words that I can understand to check out for my animals and also for clients, you know, because there are so many sensitive pets out there. We live in a very toxic world and our bodies and our pets' bodies are, you know, constantly being challenged with the toxicity and everything from the air and the water and certain foods and the grass and et cetera and so forth. So yeah, the beautiful things that we can get into their bodies to help continue to build them up and strengthen their immune systems and their gut microbiome is key. So this is great. So I talk a lot about emotional contagion. That's what I call it. But this kind of interconnectedness of how we feel with how our pets feel and vice versa, because they are so intuitive. And you've talked about the interconnectedness of our pets' health and our own health and nutrition. Talk to us a little bit about your view on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the jury's not out on, you know, I have a daughter and I am lucky to have an amazing dog that, you know, they're actually about the same age. So Maple's two and Huckleberry, the dog, is about 1.5. And so not only on the emotional side, but the jury's not out. I mean, we know that kids who are raised with dogs and cats have less allergies, less asthma, and are just exposed to more, you know, good bacteria. And especially, you know, as a family, we all share bacteria. And so anything I can do for Huckleberry, or if you can imagine, I'm obviously as crazy about Maple's nutrition as well. Anything we can do for each other is going to highly benefit anything that, you know, each other. And so I think that that's important, but also just being able to watch from an emotional perspective. I think all of our dogs sort of have a different place in our life at different stages of our life. You know, when I had Lua, I had her alone for a long time and it was just me and her. And then I met my wife and they had their own sort of distinct relationship. And then we got Huckleberry after Maple was born and he is really the family dog. And he is just a different experience. He's all of our dog and he's my daughter's best friend. And it's a new motivation to keep him alive forever because, you know, she's so tied to him in that way. And I just, you know, I've lived in both experiences, and this is all obviously from my own just personal experience, but I've lived in both experiences with and without dogs. And I just think that they add, you know, and cats would be in the same regard. They just add such an element, both from an emotional standpoint and, but also from that physical standpoint. And I think they can kind of drive us to do better as well.
Absolutely. They add such a richness to our lives and depth to our lives. Regarding cats, mentioning cats, before we take a quick break, outside of, you know, the vegetable, the plant products, the meat products, are they good for cats as well? If there are cat parents listening out there who don't have dogs and who are interested in this kind of high quality nutrition.
Yeah, basically everything we make, because I mean, we have duck and bison bone broth, we have, you know, the raw goat's milk, we have all of our full treat line, which is mainly animal. Our food is actually complete and balanced for both dogs and cats as well. So everything we make is really great for cats. And also cats, you know, can be very particular and picky about what they eat. And we have extremely good palatability in, on our food and also our treats. And I think that comes from the high organ meat content. And also the other thing too, is our food, because it's so nutritionally dense, when you rehydrate it, it absorbs all the moisture, but it stays in its shape. Like most foods, because I think it's because they're really high in plants, they break down as they hydrate, but ours stays in its form. And I think cats tend to prefer that. So for those listening with cats, I would encourage highly to, you know, if you're feeding a, let's say, processed diet without much moisture, our goat's milk and bone broth would be a must. And then beyond that, you know, cats love treats too. And so you can kind of just see what in our line your cat would like.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We're going to take a short break. So let's hold these thoughts. When we come back, we're going to talk with Billy about some key misconceptions pet parents might have about nutrition, what his diet is like, and also about one thing that is so very important to research to find out before you buy your pet's food. So refresh that healthy beverage. Get cozy. We'll be right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. If you've just joined, you're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jody Teich, your host. We're here today with pet nutrition expert Billy Hochman. Billy, what are some key misconceptions pet parents might have about nutrition that you've heard over the years?
A couple things. I think, well, one of the things is we should always be, you know, on a side note, we should always be reevaluating what is a misconception or not a misconception. Your idea of what's true now is going to be different in 5 years or could be the same in some categories, but we should always be willing to reevaluate, you know, information generally. That's what science is. So I think one of the misconceptions of the industry is, you know, once you hold a position, you have to hold that position forever. But that's, you know, counter to both your pet's well-being and also just how your brain works, you know, just in general. So that's one of the things. I think one of the main things is that, you know, we swung so far away from plants because so many companies were using things like corn and soy and some of the plants we don't want to see in food, that there's, you know, still people to this day, even though we have, you know, good evidence and science to show this is not true, that talk about dogs don't need plants. But in nutrition, need is dogs don't, you need nutrients that come from unprocessed food. And it doesn't matter if those nutrients are from plants or eggs or milk or meat. So I think when people use the word need, they need to talk more about what nutrient profiles we're talking about versus, you know, those specific foods. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you listen to Dr. Richard Pitcairn, he feeds his animals and I think that's cats as well, a plant-based diet. He does not believe that meat is good for our animals anymore because of the toxicity in the muscle meat from especially factory farming, you know, and eating off of pesticide, herbicide, you know, grasses or the kinds of things that factory farmed animals are fed. So there's a lot of different schools of thought out there. What's your diet like?
Well, my diet is the opposite of that. Just in general, I don't prescribe to a specific, like people say, like I'm keto or I'm paleo or I'm vegan, or I don't prescribe to a particular diet. I just try to eat as many nutrient dense foods as possible, but I eat a lot of well-sourced animal products. You know, my breakfast every morning is 16 ounces of raw or raw fermented dairy, and then 3 raw egg yolks and some various, you know, whole food supplements. Even on the road, I do that in hotel rooms, et cetera. But I also look at the value. For instance, me and my wife have been eating a lot of salads lately. Typically have a banana in the afternoon. I'm pretty regimented when it comes to this stuff. But I'm also trying to teach my daughter a 90-10 rule, because I think people drive themselves a little too crazy if they don't eat things they don't like sometimes. And so, you know, it's the same thing with my daughter's been on a raw milk formula, you know, for the first year of her life. Oddly enough, her favorite food is raw milk with raw cod liver oil in it.
Wow.
And yeah, she's like a baby from the 1920s or something. But, you know, she also loves cookies and ice cream. And I think that stuff for humans plays a role, because you have to enjoy yourself as well. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And where I was talking about earlier with Kelly and me's diet, it's kind of like my diet is pretty animal based, and her diet is not. You know, she does eat meat and other things, but plants are a very high proportion of her diet. And so that's where I think we can kind of get into the variance in diet. But I also live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I can get just, you know, amazing animal foods, avoiding those things that you were just talking about, you know, in terms of factory farming and pesticides and herbicides and things.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't eat meat for about 12 to 15 years because of animals. And I learned that certain vitamins were in greater quantity and more bioavailable in meat, especially beef. And I did an experiment. It was tough because I had to get over the reason why I stopped eating meat, but I felt better. I felt better. And for me now, including responsibly sourced meat is a part of my diet. And I'm lucky in Texas, because in Austin, because we do have farms and ranches where they're organic farms, they're pasture, you know, raised, they're humanely slaughtered. And so their lives are more like lives as opposed to, you know, death sentences. So yes, that's huge. Lancaster, is that near the Amish country?
It is. Yeah. It's the particular epicenter. It's kind of where they started.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of really interesting cultural things here.
Right. So is that where you source from for your, you know, meats and various other things?
We source primarily our goat's milk.
Okay.
You know, and I personally inspect all of those. I know the farmers that we get our milk from here in Pennsylvania. And then we also make our fermented products here, but our meat actually comes primarily from, when you source to a particular standard, the 3 products I just mentioned are produced here in Pennsylvania. All the other products are produced in Oregon. So like our beef is from the Pacific Northwest, you know, our bison is from Colorado and Wyoming, our ducks are from California. So it really depends on where it is, but we source, you know, the best raw goat's milk in the world from our Amish farmers here.
This is exactly what I wanted to talk with you about, because it's so important for pet parents to understand that sourcing, knowing something about where your pets and your food is coming from, is so critical. If you had to give pet parents a short list of the questions that they should ask or what they should look for or avoid when buying food for their animals, what would that be?
I mean, I would say you want to ascertain as much information as you can about the life that the animal lived, because that's what's going to make it either healthy or not healthy. A good example of that would be in our food, we don't have any omega-3 supplements. We rely on the natural ratio of omega-3 to 6, which you only get a good ratio if that animal was ethically fed because they're eating that their diet that pertains to their particular species. A good example of that would be our beef, our bison is a 3-to-1 ratio and our beef is a 4-to-1 ratio, which means you don't have to take our word for it that the animal was grass fed, because if they weren't, that ratio of omega-6 would be much higher. And so the more you can, you know, obviously on the seafood realm, you want to be in obviously the wild caught side of things, but you want to ascertain about what was that animal's life like and what did that animal eat? And that will tell you a lot about how healthy the food's going to be or not.
Great advice. So I'd like to end with what impact you've seen through the nutrition and products you've been involved with and share with pet parents over the years.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I give so much credit to all of our retail partners who have independent pet stores across the country, because, you know, I'm in a position where I'm making these products and we're doing the legwork before they come out, but I get to visit stores and the stories that I hear in terms of that's why these in an otherwise shrinking retail market, that's why these stores are thriving so much, is because of the fact that people come in with sick animals and they make simple changes to Whole Foods and they're seeing a lot of these changes in their own animals. One that comes to mind in my own life was there was a woman in Florida who came to me and was in a pretty dismal kidney disease state. And essentially her numbers were going down. And I was like, okay, so I want you to, you know, one of the big things about kidney disease is bioavailability is moisture. So she went on, you know, a 50% food, 50% raw goat's milk diet with bone broth. And we were able to get those numbers pretty quickly back into normal range. And I would say it was like 3 to 5 years of normal range, but then the body started to not be able to really keep up. And I said, all right, well, now we're going to just switch to raw goat's milk and bone broth, and that's it. And she was able to get into normal range for another couple of years. And so that woman really got a lot more years with her dog than she would have got if she wouldn't have made those drastic changes. And that's, I think, on even micro scales across the country right now, that's happening, you know, whether it's less itchiness, whether it's my dog doesn't limp anymore, whether it's, you know, they're digestively where they need to be and they're comfortable. People are seeing that every single day. And I used to do more individual consults and, you know, work directly. Now I'm in more of a, you know, I don't unfortunately have the time to do those, but it's kind of cool for me because like I was in Wisconsin and Illinois last week visiting stores with a new employee of ours, and you get to hear those stories and you know you're still making the impact. So those mean a lot to me.
Yeah, that is a beautiful thing. The power of food, the power of good nutrition. Anything else you'd like to share with my listeners?
If you like our products, stay tuned. We're always in development. We got, you know, a bunch of new stuff coming out, maybe even later this year and then also next year. So if you like Green Juju, you're in for more fun stuff.
Perfect. And where can people find you?
Greenjuju.com and or if we're on Instagram, Facebook, and all that kind of stuff.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Billy, for taking the time to do this. This is important information and the products sound beautiful. I love the ones that I use. So I'm going to talk to you more about that. But thanks for coming on to the show.
No problem.
And thank you all for listening. As a pet health coach, my mission is to share holistic healing options for pets and their parents seeking a natural approach to wellness. So tune in next time for information, expert interviews, and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody L. Teich, and this is the Pet Health Coach.
Let's talk pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.